Hi, welcome to the On Call Room,
a Grey's Anatomy podcast.
I'm Abby.
I'm Bree.
And we are
here today
at a table.
If this is your first time listening to the podcast, great, welcome. We're so happy you're here. You should probably go back to season two. Just skip season one.
Maybe they don't like seasons one through four of Grey's and they're just ready for season five.
That's true.
So maybe, hello, welcome to season five.
Yes.
So we are going through every episode of Grey's step by step and basically dissecting it. We talk about characters, we talk about plot lines, we talk about ourselves. And
A lot.
Yeah, and there's spoilers. So if this is also like you haven't seen past this episode, I'm sorry. We're going to spoil some things.
Right.
Where can they find us, Bree?
Well, if you want to follow us on Instagram, you can find us at the On Call Room Pod. I like to put some little things up there once in a while. Abby recently started putting together stories about all of the shit that the cast from previous cast too from Grey's Anatomy is doing during the week.
So it's fun because if you don't want to follow all like 25 of them, you can just look for our highlights at the end of every week.
A little highlight reel, if
like,
you will.
It was T.R. Knight's birthday. Happy birthday, George.
Yeah. We are so happy you're actually really alive. And then if you want to help support the podcast, you can find us at www.patreon.com/theoncallroom. That's P-A-T-R-E-O-N. It's in the show notes also. Abby, what do they get if they help support?
So if you are someone that has a lot of opinions and you want to share them, the best thing you can do is become at least an intern, which is $2 or more a month. You get access to our private Facebook group where we have really beautiful, open, honest, and just funny conversations about either the podcast episode or the episode that has just recently aired. So if you have friends that don't watch Grey's, but you want to talk about Grey's, we are the people for you. For $5 or more a month, you can get bonus episodes. We do one every month. Spoiler alert, the one that's coming up for, well, no, actually, the one that happened for March is really great. It's like we went and answered questions from our listeners. Mm-hmm. And so you can learn more about us and about our experience with Grey's. You also get, oh, if you have a lot and a lot of opinions, you can donate $10 or more a month and be a co-host. We don't have one this week, but we did last week and it's the best.
Did you say tell them about Google Hangouts?
Oh, yeah. And once a month, we go live on a Google Hangout where you can, like, actually talk and hang out with us and all of the people that listen to the show. It's really fun.
Yeah.
We have, like, regular people that attend it.
Yeah. It's, like, it's literally...
Like Joe's Bar. We should call it Joe's Bar.
Oh, my God. That's so good. But, yeah, it's a literal hangout.
Yes.
Like, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. We have those scheduled. So, we have two coming... Or maybe they'll already happen. But they're always scheduled at the beginning of the month. So you get a major heads up in case you want to try to put it, make it a part of your calendar.
People bring wine.
Yeah.
We usually are drinking it.
Yeah. It's going to be perfect. So
consider donating. Because if you do, it helps us to create better content. And also, you know, make more of it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Who knows? Depending on how much we make, you might get two bonus episodes in a month.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, if you are already a patron, oh God, patron.
Patron.
If you are a patron and you...
Ness.
And you...
Patronus.
Oh, good. Whoa.
Yeah.
Harry Potter. And you want to... Let us know. So season six is coming up. Let's talk about this.
Yeah.
We are going to take a little break, skis.
Just a little one.
Bree and I are going to Cabo.
If you didn't already know, if we haven't talked about it enough, we're going to Cabo.
Yeah. And
we're going on our honeymoon.
Exactly. And we just want to regroup after season five. So if you have any ideas of things that you'd really like to hear us talk about or to incorporate into the show or maybe add as like a new goal for our Patreon page, this is the perfect time to fill us in on those thoughts because we have some time to try to implement some of them. So I would say the best option if you aren't a patron is to do so on our Instagram.
Or they can email us.
Yeah, you can email us at well, there's no at.
Theoncallroom at gmail.com.
Yes, theoncallroom at gmail.com. So,
Or Instagram.
One of us will reply. Will reply. I forgot how to talk. I'm nervous.
Help. So more to come on our little break and, you know, some new things for season six. Can't fucking believe that we're almost to season six.
But also, can you believe that it took about half a year to get us through season five? Like,
even in like putting episodes together.
Right. Like, I keep being like, oh, we'll get through like four seasons a year.
No way.
Unless we make some mega changes.
But we have, like, new characters coming up in season 6.
Is this one, like, April and then?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know if I'm... It's too much more to talk about.
I know.
I'm not ready to say goodbye to George.
I know.
I'm going to bring up George so much this week and next week because this is the last time I can talk about him.
I mean, you can reference him.
I'm sure some people, like, miss him in their shout-outs, but...
And there some people miss him.
But, like, I'm just really sad. Especially because, like, the George this season, although he's quite absent...
Yeah.
...is, like, George, like, adult George. Like, he's finally, like, himself.
Yeah, really came into... Like, grew into his skin.
Ugh.
Is that the saying? I don't think so.
I don't know. Okay, also...
I was just going to say, I feel like we fucked up and we didn't give you an update last week, listeners, even though later in the podcast we said we did. So we're just going to take it back.
Yeah. So if you were listening to the episode with Rex and you heard us tell Rex, don't worry, we'll tell you about it early in the episode. And you think, I didn't hear that. You're not messed up. We are. I just forgot to bring up this story, but here goes. So... I feel like, it's too far, too many scrolls back, but about 2 weeks ago, I was getting my eyebrows tinted and waxed, as one does every 4 weeks, and it's at this, like, very nice place, downtown Grand Rapids. It's, I would say of all the places, it's a place made for eyebrows and eyelashes. That's the only thing they do there. So, it's kind of bougie. And nice, but,
A brow bar,
so to say. So, I'm there, and... I'm waiting for my appointment. I walk in, and like moments after I walk in, this woman comes in, very like, she like shuffles in like loudly. She has like probably 3 to 4 tote bags with her, like different kinds. One looks like a lunchbox, like with a zipper.
Sure.
One is like just your typical totes, but like they're not combined. There's just multiple. Mm-hmm. And she just looks
on both
frazzled.
Arms.
Yes. Oh yeah. Very whatever. She comes in, walking in, saying something like, oh, my friend dropped me off. Like, just starts talking to thin air.
To no one.
Yeah, this is a very, like, quiet place. Because people are getting their freaking eyelash extensions done where, like, you can kind of nap when you're getting that done.
Yeah.
So it's very quiet. And there's, like, music, you know?
Yeah.
And the receptionist, who's this, like, very young, blonde girl, whatever, she's, like, on the phone and sees this woman come in. And this woman, like, sits across from me and just starts, like... like running around, just like doing things and like talking to me, I think, but like, I don't know. And I'm just on my phone. It's not that I'm rude. I just was in one of those moods where you're like, I don't feel like talking to anyone.
Right.
And so.
Well, you were about to go get your eyebrows. It's not like you were there to like socialize.
Exactly. And I don't know how, I think that she started to say, I was like not really paying attention, but then she like directly asked me a question, so I couldn't like ignore her. And I think she said, she was like, do you get your eyebrows done here? And I was like, yes. And she was like, can I see? And I was like, okay. And like
look at my face.
Yeah. And so she asked if they were microbladed, which is the like tattoo, and they are. I was like, yeah. She's like, oh, did so-and-so do them? And I said, yes. And then she's like, she brings her face, like I probably like 2 feet from mine, like quite close for someone I don't know. I was like, see mine? My friend did them. She messed them up. Can't you see? Like, they're just not right. And like, truly, you could see where some hairs were. Her tattooed eyebrow was above.
Oh no.
Like the hair, like it was, and it was very thin. It was like a 90s eyebrow, but like an inch above.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Very theatrical looking.
Yes.
And so anyways, I was like, oh, I think it's, you know, fine. You know, whatever. I think you're doing
a great job.
Yeah. And then she like, goes over to one of the stations that no one was working at, like takes like 7 tissues and starts like cleaning her bag off. And she was like, I brushed my bag on the side of my friend's car. And you know how like it gets like salty in the winter.
Yeah.
And so she was like brushing that off. I don't know. Okay. I'm just like,
so she's pretty manic.
Yes. And like, you can tell, I was like, wow, I'm surprised she has an appointment here because she came in here asking so many questions that I was like, it seems weird to come in and not know
what you're doing there.
And so then the lady calls me and I go sit in a chair and I'm kind of not paying attention to what happens anymore. Getting my eyebrows done, I'm coming back and I'm checking out and my friend, the girl that does them, is there. And the receptionist hands the girl that does my eyebrows a note.
Mm.
And like, they don't say anything. And they like, the girl like nods, looks at her, and then they put the note on the table. Well, I'm nosy, and I read the note, and it says, I don't think Donna has an appointment.
It can't be real.
Yeah, and what's funny is, like, as soon as, like, I was done with my eyebrows, and I saw her there still, like, mumbling and just talking, whatever, I remember, I seriously, and I'm not shitting you, like, had a thought that I was like, I feel like this is like Donna.
This
like,
is Donna.
Like,
yeah.
I just had a feeling. And so I read the note and I like go into shock because I couldn't, like, I so badly, I didn't, and I feel, I think this is I made the right choice not to take a photo of a stranger. Yeah. But like, I like, as I'm walking out, I make sure to like make one long glance, like, mm-hmm. and just like try to take it all in. And I walk out and immediately fucking, I texted you. And
yeah.
I was like, oh, you were my like, God.
What does Donna look like?
Yeah. And our descriptions were pretty similar. Like,
yeah.
Again, I felt like I was avoiding eye contact because I didn't feel like having conversation. I didn't get as much visual as I could have.
Yeah. And you also, we talked about like the sound of her voice.
Yeah. It was very like raspy.
Yeah.
And there was just no personal space. Like I did not ever meet this woman and she was talking to me about very personal things, mm-hmm. like within the first 20 seconds of her walking into this place. And she didn't have an appointment, which
right.
made more sense to me. And so I so badly later wanted to ask my eyebrow person, like,
what was that about?
Yeah, but I probably won't. But like, either way, I mean,
well, like I responded, I was like, that is Donna.
Yeah, like all of the descriptions.
You just met Donna. And the crazy thing was we had just released our episode of letting go of her.
Right.
And I was like, fuck, we manifested her. We brought her back into our lives.
Yeah. So I feel more closure now that I've seen her and interacted with her.
Yeah.
Also, I feel a little creeped out by the universe that like, they brought Donna into my life and 2 feet from my face.
They wanted you to experience what I experienced for months and months and just get a little snippet of like, you weren't allowed to let go of Donna because you didn't know Donna, but now you know Donna, so you can really let
and
her go.
And now I'm wondering if like the person that dropped her off, because it was a guy, is the person that like...
What did he look like?
I didn't see him,
damn.
But she kept referencing a him.
Yeah,
and
it was
like,
probably her boyfriend.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm saying. And like...
Who was upstairs always.
Yeah, and she was just like, he's going to be mad if this takes a certain amount of time. And I was just so, I don't know, it was just really weird. I kind of feel like she's now entered my life. Like, you let go of her.
I have gifted her to
right,
you.
Right, and I feel like now.
What if she's there the next time you get your eyebrows done?
I mean, if she's got, well, then I was scouring the girl's like page for microblading to see if there was anyone similar. Because who knows? She could have like had the money to pay for it and everything too.
Well, yeah, I was wondering like, so how long does it take you to get your eyebrows done?
Just the tint and stuff takes like a half hour.
Well, yeah, but that means she was sitting there for over a half hour.
Right.
Oh, I feel so bad for that receptionist.
Well, then I'm pretty sure she was waiting for Lisa, the girl that does them to like come talk to her.
That was so Michigan.
Oh, said her name.
Yeah.
Waiting for her to handle it. She's also the owner. So, mm-hmm. like, I think that she was like, I'll let you talk to... So...
Right.
I'm sure that it was handled, and I'm just interested to know how it went.
Yeah. So, there you go, listeners. You've been wanting an update on Donna for years, and we tried to give you one... Or years.
I mean, a year.
And we tried to give you one. We drove around the city looking for her, and then she just came to Abby. She just showed up.
Like a fairy godmother.
Yeah.
When did you move out of that place?
It's coming up on a year,
that's
April.
Okay, mm-hmm. I remember being this temp, like it was not quite spring yet.
So, because I took the last, it was like the second to last weekend in April. It was just after John's birthday.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
The best.
I know. It's crazy. I should actually look that up. Not right now, but.
I just remember you and your bandana sitting on.
Sitting on that couch over there and we had no anything there.
You bought a new cover for that couch, right?
Yeah, now it's destroyed.
Yeah.
Because our cat. Scratched it up.
Why do cats do that?
I don't know.
Can you ever have a nice couch if you own a cat?
Yeah, I think you can like, I mean, you can like spray bottle them or like she started doing it once and then it got pretty bad. And so we're just like, well, we're just going to buy a new cover or a new couch or something. You know, it's not like.
Does she do it when you're gone?
No, she mostly, well, I don't know, maybe, but cause I don't have like a cat camera, but like, I feel like she mostly does it when she like wants our attention.
Okay.
But you can like spray bottle them or you can put that, like we tried initially putting that stick tape on there to like stop her from doing it. Or just keep her claws cut pretty short.
I just wondered, I'm just picturing like someone buys a brand new leather couch.
Yeah, no, that's what I feel like you can't have nice furniture when you have animals.
That's
like
true.
Think about dogs too.
Right. No, that's true. If you, it's like, unless you train them to be like... Purely an animal. Well, cats you can't train like that.
I think you can.
To
I mean,
not
I
get
think
on couches.
I mean, I think you can like
That's true.
When spray kids. Like spray
but
them
when
with
little
a,
baby kids.
Yeah, you don't want to.
You don't want to spray them in the face.
No, it's really sad. I did that a couple times with Marge, and it was like, I'm so sorry, and then you stop.
I just remember picking up my old dog Liam from whatever doggy daycare place he would go to, and I would pick him up, and he would be soaking wet. And I'd be like, what? Did you give him a bath? Like, they're like, oh no, that was the spray bottle. Like he was so bad.
He was so bad that he was soaking wet.
Yeah, just fucking didn't
fucking
care.
Fucking dog.
Yeah.
What if we did that to other human beings? Like, you're being a bitch. Just spray bottled them.
Or our husbands.
And you're like,
ugh. Our boyfriend's husbands.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I could spray bottle Jake all of the time.
Mm-hmm. Same with John.
Yesterday, Jake and I got in a fight about cheese.
Okay, tell
That's
me more.
That's marriage. He made a, which it was fucking delicious, a stromboli.
Ooh.
Like a calzone-esque thing.
Yeah.
And so I told him, like, you're in charge, you know, whatever. And then, of course, I
took charge. Yeah.
We were grocery shopping together, which we don't ever do because.
Ooh, that's hard.
Yeah. And I'm like, don't get that kind. Get this, you know.
Whatever. Yeah.
And we were in the, like, pizza section, like the homemade pizza section. Mm-hmm. And there they have, like, the shaker Parmesan cheese, like the powder, which isn't even like real Parmesan cheese.
Yeah, it's like sawdust.
Yeah. And he was like gonna grab that. And I was like, oh, is that for like the outside of it? This is my passive aggressive thing. And he was like, no, I'm gonna like that's you I'm gonna put it in. I was like, okay, you can't. Like, I mean,
but actually You can't do that.
I was like, it's not even cheese. It won't melt.
Like, yeah. No, you need like the one.
Right.
You,
like
yeah.
in the fresh cheese
yeah,
section.
That Giada De Laurentiis uses.
Yeah. And I was like, well, I was like, plus like on pizza, it's not just Parmesan. It's like a mozzarella Parmesan
right.
blend usually, or it's like a whatever. And he's like, no, they can do it with Parmesan. And I was like, it's not.
No, it's not like, just Parmesan.
And then he was like, then we got, it was like, he got huffy puffy. You always, and I was this whatever, and I was like, you're right. I am controlling this. I was like, but you can't put powdered Parmesan cheese.
You can't do it.
In a stromboli. And then I was like, what do you want me to do? Have you do it, and then it be messed up, and then you're angry, and we don't have dinner?
Well, this is the
Should
thing.
Should I have done that, though?
I don't know, because I'm not a therapist. But what I will say is, like, there are moments that, like, you could probably bite your tongue and, like, right. not control a situation.
Right.
That was not the moment.
No,
and like, and the thing that sucks is then he's triggered from past times. Like,
right.
you always, right. and it's like, but yeah.
But this time I am right.
But this time I'm really actually right.
That's what I kept saying. He's like, you always think your way is right. I was like, true. And I will always, own that. But this is correct.
Yeah, like you.
My noise bars are so loud right now.
No, I get it.
And we were like, and then we like. Pulled out. We were like in the mire, and like we were at the shitty mire too.
Oh, makes it that much worse. Yeah.
And we were like by like the baby clothes section, like having this like, blah.
Did you laugh?
And then when we went to the cheese section, he was like, well, which one should I use? And I was like, grabbed one that was so glad it was there. It said like pizza blend. And it was like 50% Parmesan, 50% mozzarella. I was like, see, we're both right. Cause I thought it was just mozzarella at first too. It was like a good moment.
Bring you two together about cheese.
And then he was like, well, it's very expensive. I was like, well, then pick whatever one you want. I'm done. It's fine.
It's very expensive. Who gives a fuck?
Yeah, I know. So anyways, it was.
I feel like that comment is just because he was pissed that you were right. Like, oh, it's very expensive. I should have just bought the three. Like, because it was probably $5 for a bag.
Yeah.
Maybe six. And the powdered cheese is like $3.63. So it's really not that much more expensive.
Also not cheese.
Yeah.
Right. I was like, I was so. Part of me now still wishes that I would have let him make it. With that.
And then
heard him tell me I'm right.
Yeah. Oh God, that feels good.
Or I was like, put that cheese on your half, put this kind on mine, then we'll see.
Then we'll be fine. Yeah, and you're gonna want my half. Cause I'm right. And yeah. I know, listeners, we're not always right. But the women
sometimes we are.
But mostly we are. Like mostly we have it figured out.
Yeah, and like, yeah, it just made me laugh. But then it was like one of those, and then I was annoyed. We were like walking and I was like walking ahead of him, like to the checkout counter.
Yeah.
And he like came up and like grabbed my hand like to hold it. And I was mad. I just like, I don't want to hold your hand right now. But he like made me.
Oh, that's kind
of. He was mad at me too. Like I was
like. So you're mad holding hands. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that.
Oh yeah. It's really frustrating when it happens. Also, I got mad one other time. We just shouldn't grocery shop together. I think I just decided it. We were in D&W And like, again, he was like in a hurry and I was like, what should we have for dinner? You know, whatever. And I was like trying to ask him, I was like, hey, babe, do you, like I was holding up these soups and he didn't hear me and he kept going. And I was like, Jake. And like, he still never heard me. So I was left alone in the section, like soups. Shouting a name. And then I ended up like holding a bunch of things and I was like struggling. And like, I came over to him and I was like, I'm going to drop this, you know, like, like a damsel in distress. And I was like, I was yelling to you. And he was like, I didn't hear you. I don't care. We have to go. And anyways, I'm just trying to buy you dinner.
When I grocery shop with John, when we shop together, we always end up splitting up. Like he's like goes to, and he walks so fast in the grocery store. I'm like chasing, like
that's me
chasing up with him or trying to get whatever. Yeah. Doesn't matter. But I usually am like, oh, I gotta go get like cotton balls and Q-tips. And so when I come back, he has his headphones in. I always wear my headphones at the grocery store too. But it's like, why do you have them in now? Like, I'm going to be coming up. And then I come up and then he like has to take out his headphones. And then he just walks super fucking fast. And he doesn't talk to me. Like, he doesn't talk to me in the grocery store. We don't fight there because he doesn't communicate. Like, I don't understand why we really don't talk.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, you know, if I'm hanging out with my boyfriend, like, I'm down to have a good time at the grocery store and, like, do what we need to do. But he is like, no.
Sometimes I have this romanticized idea, too. Like, when I'm like, hey, like, yesterday we cleaned out our closets.
Yeah.
And I was like,
is that why you weren't responding to me?
Probably. I was like, this could be really fun. Like, he'd be like, yeah, let's do it. Let's purge.
Yeah.
And, like, go in and we're, like, laughing, looking at, this is how I imagine it in
my head. Never.
like, he's like, look at this old shirt. I'm like, oh my God.
Wow, cool.
Yeah, and we're, like, having a fun time. Instead, it's like, he was, like, cleaning out. I told him, we had, like, all this beer in our fridge from people bringing it over. Mm-hmm. It just needed to be cleaned out. And he was in barefoot and a t-shirt and shorts in the garage. Like, it was cold yesterday.
Yeah, it was 27 degrees this morning. So yeah, it was,
and I was like, hey, do you want me to bring a, no. I was like, do you want a coat? Just, you're going a mile a minute. And I was like, I'm just trying to help. So I've decided that chores and grocery shopping, he's not having fun. So do not engage.
Yeah.
If you and I were cleaning out closets,
we'd be together, having the time of our lives.
We'd be drinking wine.
That's what you got. That's what you have to do.
Yeah.
Listen, and I'm not trying to shit on my boyfriend. No, I'm not love, either. I love them.
He won't have listened this far.
Yeah, John doesn't listen to the podcast.
But
anymore.
Yeah, no, we love them dearly. It's just relationships.
It is.
If you're feeling alone in these problems, guess what? You're not like, okay, real quick, and then I want to get into this. But Bree and I both watched This Is Us.
Oh,
and
so
we don't
want
to spoiler if you watch that. But like, there's a line that Beth and Randall have when they're fighting that's, this is the same fight we've always had.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fucking real. And
yeah.
I think if you're feeling like, in your relationship, you fight about the same shit. Guess what?
Like, if you're fighting about cheese every time you go to the grocery store,
don't go to the grocery store ever again.
Just stop going to the grocery store.
Paper shipped and have them deliver it.
And just get both types of cheeses. Yes. An extra $5 is not going to kill you.
I think maybe I'll buy that Parmesan cheese tomorrow, put a bow on it, and put it on the counter and be like,
that's so mean. He would be,
I know, I'd write, like, love you. Like, this cheese is good too.
No, I feel like that's super passive aggressive. And like I don't, I feel like Jake would be like, fucking bitch. Like, you bought this cheese.
Okay, fine.
Let the fight go.
Okay.
It's also hard.
Also, everything he wanted to buy, I was like zebra cakes.
Who? That is pure trash.
I know. That's what I said. That's why I can't shop with him. I don't want to see the stuff that he thinks are meals.
Wait, he thinks zebra cakes are meals?
Yes.
No, they're a snack. Maybe.
I made him also buy the portion-sized chips. You know, like when you buy the bag of chips with the bag of chips inside? It's a waste of plastic, whatever. Because otherwise, he'll eat a bag of Doritos in once. Like a family-sized Doritos will last a day and a half.
Oh, but if he buys, like, little chips.
Yeah, and then I was like, try this. See if that, like, will cure your chip craving. I was, he's like, I'll probably just eat five of them at once. And I was like, God damn it. But I tried.
I try really hard to, like, stay out of, like, the packaged like food section. I just try not to even go down it because I will do what Jake does and I'm like,
well, yeah,
that looks
not
dope
at my house,
as hell.
I don't really miss it. Like,
no.
It'll be like a minute where I'm like, oh, I wish I had up, but I get over it.
Yeah.
I eat some shredded cheese instead.
Totally fine. My snack is pickles.
Yeah, I had to throw away a thing of pickles.
Oh my God. That
they
is.
I buy the fresh ones, like,
yeah.
They had expired.
That's devastating.
I know.
How that would never happen in my house.
It happens to me a lot.
I am offended.
I know. I also went through the sauces in your fridge.
Oh, God, I hate doing that.
It's fucking worst.
My parents' fridge always has 8 things of mayonnaise in it. Always. Because they'll be like, oh, we got to make that broccoli cauliflower salad. And so they don't know if they have the mayonnaise and if the mayonnaise old. But instead of getting rid of the old mayonnaise, they just keep it in there. And then it just like, I remember one day I used to clean for my parents and I cleaned out their fridge and I was like, Mom and Dad, you literally had 8, I'm not exaggerating, 8 open like Hellman's mayonnaise things, like unacceptable. I cleaned it all out. And then in the pantry, this was probably 5 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago that I was cleaning for them. So what year would have that been? 2014 maybe?
Yeah.
They had a thing of Bisquick that the Best Buy date was 1997.
That's a vintage.
I was like, what the fuck is this?
That's incredible.
This should not be here.
I know. It's a problem when you buy like the canned things.
Yeah.
Because they just live there forever.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't know how we got
George.
Here. Yeah.
Should we take a quick break so I can blow my nose and then we'll get into
it? And then we'll get into it.
Okay. Welcome back.
This is the part of the episode where we talk about Grey's Anatomy and not about our husbands and boyfriends.
Just a casual 30 minutes in. Okay, so we are talking about season 5, episode 22. It's called What a Difference a Day Makes. It's the episode before the finale.
Mm-hmm. No.
But the finale was a 2-hour finale.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, they always are.
Oh.
So I'm pretty sure, yes.
Right.
Well, in my mind, I'll look in a second. Okay, this monologue is by Izzy Stevens.
Perfect.
All right. You never know the biggest day of your life is going to be the biggest. The days you think are going to be the big ones, they never are as big as you make them out to be in your head.
There's a lot of big.
It's the regular days, the ones that start out normal. Those are the days that end up being the biggest. There's a lot. You're right. And today was the wedding. It was beautiful.
Perfect. It was big.
This is like a Trump speech. You never know the biggest day of your life is the biggest day. Wait, why is it? This has to be a joke. You never know the biggest day of your life is the biggest day, not until it's happening. You don't recognize the biggest day of your life, not until you're right in the middle of it. The day you commit to something or someone, the day you get your heart broken, the day you meet your soulmate, the day you realize there's not enough time because you want to live forever. Those are the biggest days, the perfect days. You know it was a beautiful day.
You That's know. A terrible monologue.
You know, comma, it was a beautiful day. Yeah, it's kind of weird.
I don't care for it. I feel like it goes better with what's going on.
It sounded better.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that it's Izzy talking, and you're also kind of like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
When Izzy starts reading it. That was my first. I said, never a good sign.
My first note was, wow, Izzy got very, very sick.
Yeah, very fast.
Like, very fast.
And also, did you notice, though, that the clip of her reading the monologue happens after her wedding?
Right. Yeah,
there's like a time
jump thing.
Yeah. I also, my actual first note besides the Izzy thing is who gets married at night in a church? Because Derek and Meredith were like, tonight after work, the ceremony.
Oh, yeah, that
church.
Never happens.
Churches don't let you do that. It's
no.
Saturday afternoons before the Saturday night service. Yeah. Have you not been to a church? I'm confused at what religion.
Maybe
this
it
is.
Was a Friday night.
Could have been. I guess so.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. But you make a very good point.
What's your first note?
Mine was, wow, Izzy got very, very sick.
Okay, yeah.
And then my next one, I'm just going to say, and we can get into it, but like Callie looks rough.
Oh, yeah. She plays a great, like, exhausted, stressed. So
should we maybe just talk about, get that storyline out of the way first?
Yeah, sure. Do we want to, we don't need to list the storylines.
Nope.
Okay. All right. So yeah, Callie is having a rough day and we don't know why. Like,
no, and throughout the whole episode.
Right,
we
right.
just know that she slept at the hospital, she's picking up a shift in the ER, and she is, like, very short with Arizona.
Yeah, and the way that I feel like, too, there's that part when she's like, it's a slow day, and they are like, oh, don't jinx it. I love that little moment. And also, I think it's right after that, we'll hit on this, but I love so much. So Callie's, like, trying to handle the ER.
Mm-hmm.
And Mark is, like, asking her about his best man speech while, like, there's shit flying.
Like, shit getting fucked up.
A typical Mark-Callie, like, interaction. But, yeah. Should we just touch on, like, what the medical trauma is, basically?
Yes.
It was very sad.
It was super sad. So it was a graduation day from college, right?
Yep. And there were 8 people in an SV. I keep writing SVU.
in an SVU. Olivia Benson was there.
In an SUV. Mm-hmm. And a semi, like, basically T-boned them.
Oh, God. So terrible.
I know. It's fucking rough. I kept writing, like, all right, like, kind of in Hunger Games when, like, the cannon sounds.
Yeah.
I was like, 1 dead, 2 dead. Oh. I marked, like, when it happened because I was like, uh-oh, they're going down.
They're all going down.
Yeah. So, anyway, she's dealing with that.
And she's screaming, where is Owen Hunt? Like,
which, like, where? He's just having one conversation with Christina. Yeah, I don't know. He's not, like, gone.
I don't, yeah.
I also wrote, this is the kind of medical drama I miss.
So yeah.
We've kind of, I mean, last week's episode, or the one, the season 15 episode, is that what season we're in current, Grace? Is it 15?
Yes.
The one about the victim of, like, sexual assault was really, really a great episode. But other than that, we've been listening a lot of medical drama.
Yeah.
And I love...
Well, and even that was a great episode, but I wouldn't say there was medical drama.
No, not at all. And, like, I'm missing the, like... the frenzy of the OR and, like,
yes, the again, pit.
Why I liked this one so much, it was a lot of patience, but one thing.
One storyline.
Yeah, it wasn't like there were other things happening, and I really liked that.
I agree. It keeps you, like, focused on, you don't feel so scattered.
No, and just to, like, give a rundown of the day, too, the first death happened at 9:24 a.m.
Yeah.
So, like.
Early on.
Yeah, rough.
Can I just say, holy, wait. Oh my God, those are organs. Like, that part was fucked up. Yeah. When one of the patients comes in and the paramedics bring her in pretty much to call time of death.
Is, like, they have the pink sweater when they're like,
yeah, they, okay, like, yeah, have to bring her in order for time of death to be called or whatever. And they, like, lift up, yeah, like, it was very gross.
I think that was the girl who the boyfriend was like, I looked back and she was gone.
Yeah.
Like, she was ejected from the car.
Yeah.
Like, also, that's the one that George, I think that's his second patient or whatever, but, like, oh no, third. I literally kept track. But George makes Lexi call it. Like, he's like, great, call time of death.
Yeah.
Fucking George has to call time of death on all of these people.
Which is really hard, and we'll get into that. But with the Arizona and Cali, yes. I thought it was a little obnoxious how often Arizona kept coming back. It was very obvious that Cali was in the middle of, like, trauma.
Right.
Like,
right,
in the pit. Shit was going down. And I think it's fair that Arizona wants to know what went wrong with the date the night before. But it's like, it was, I knew they had to drag it out through the episode. Like, I understand why they did it, but it didn't seem realistic to me. Like, it was like, come up, have a short conversation, and then Arizona get kind of upset and leave and, like, come back again. It's just like, just talk about it at the end of this day.
Yeah, especially when she sees what's happening around her. That's more what, I mean, I can get on board with being annoying and constantly asking a question because I would do that.
Yeah.
But when you're seeing what she's dealing with at work, that to me would
And
be
you are also a doctor.
Yeah.
Like, and Arizona even says something about that. Like, I have a busy day too. Like, I have all these things.
Right.
But it's like, well, then go focus on that and, like, yeah, go fucking talk about it after.
Yeah. Which, okay, so last week, I think when we were talking to Rex, we were wondering, like, because we knew this episode was coming.
Mm-hmm.
And we were like, how does she have no money? But I've kind of answered it. Her dad cleared out her bank account.
Which isn't right to me because she would have had to have put money in there that is her own money.
Right. But I think he just, like,
cleared it out.
Maybe they had, like, a joint, you know what I mean? Maybe she was used still, like, her paycheck. So, like, I at least circled back to that because I think we were all like, how is she functioning? Or she should be able to function. But it makes sense to me that if her, I mean, they said this and dad cleared out my bank account. So that's exactly why she's poor now.
Yeah.
It doesn't really make sense of why she lived in the hospital years prior.
Right. But
at least for this moment, it makes sense.
And I, like, coming from a place of, like, struggling with finances, I totally, like, I understood what Callie was saying when she was like, I was tallying in my head what my end of the bill was going to be. And I knew that, like, I didn't have $75 to spend this week. And then you paid for it. And it's like, it's this relief, but also you feel really ashamed.
Right,
and, like, so I felt really bad for Callie. Because, like, finances suck.
No, I think that's a real, I really appreciated actually that was her, what the thing was about. Because I think that's, like, a thing that a lot of people experience.
Right.
Especially, yeah, you said the tallying thing.
Yeah.
When someone else orders something that you're like, fuck, you know.
But, like, I didn't really want, like, I didn't need an appetizer.
Right,
You know?
I did love, because I do love Callie and Arizona together. And I loved when she's like, I don't even like salads. Mm-hmm. I like sandwiches, or, you know, whatever. Yeah. And she, and then Arizona said, but I like the girl who has the sandwiches.
Yeah.
She's like, or she's like, but you don't even like sandwiches. And she says, but she likes the girl that mm-hmm. has them. And I thought that was really fucking cute.
I also love, too, that Arizona was like, well, Callie's upset and is like, I thought this was going to be our night. We were going to, like, eat pizza and, like, go home.
Right.
And then Arizona was like, okay, we'll do that. And I liked that Arizona said that instead of, like, I don't mind paying or I got this. Because when you don't have money, that doesn't make really help.
Better.
It doesn't
yeah.
make you feel better when someone's like, I'm happy to take you out. In that moment, that's not the right thing to say. And it was like, Arizona was like, no, I'll meet you where you're at. Like, yeah. we don't have to go to a fancy restaurant, you know?
Right. I really liked that too. And I think she just said, we'll stay in.
She's yes.
Like, that's, and I just thought that was really cute.
Yeah.
I like them a lot. And I love the last scene of them eating pizza naked in bed.
Yeah, so good.
I want the confidence to eat pizza naked.
I do it all the time. No, I don't.
I guess they were like in the sheets.
Yeah.
I'd be like, I'm very bloated right now.
Don't look at
me. Don't look away. but yeah, I loved that moment.
So yeah.
I feel like we can hit a little on the mark. Can we go to Mark? Just a few little things because sure. he kind of interacts with Callie the whole day. But basically, Mark is trying to write his best man speech. But his way of approaching it first with Callie is, do you think Mare and Dara will last? Like,
yeah.
Which at first I was like, what's happening with this? I just loved that moment. I said, Mark needs help with a speech. Where was the part? Oh, I love when he threatens Mare. He's like, goes, like during her surgery, he comes in and he's like, I can't be a best man again. Like, yeah. I cannot yeah. do this.
I also like, love that he threatens her in her first solo surgery yeah. on her wedding, technically her wedding day.
Right.
Yeah.
And then when she's like, are you threatening me? He's like, I'm best man. Like, yeah. this is like that to Mark being best man is like making sure that she doesn't leave Derek.
Right.
or like, but I don't know. I really love that they're like friends again, him mm-hmm. And him and Derek. And it just made me happy.
Yeah, I agree. Do we, maybe, okay, so either we can talk about George or we can talk about Owen and Christina.
Let's talk about Owen and Christina.
Okay.
Because then the George thing will go into that.
Yeah, so Owen's working in trauma
being
all
trauma-y.
Day. Yeah, and then towards the end, right, he talks to Christina.
Yeah, she, in the beginning, like, asks how therapy's going, and then he brings up that the reason that he choked her is because the fan
triggered him.
Triggered him, yeah. And so I feel like we don't get, oh, well, the biggest thing with them, which I love when Grace like puts a patient story that kind of aligns, but the one patient Christine is working on, I have in quotes, says, when you love someone, love is love. It doesn't matter if you shouldn't be together. And clearly, like, Christina hears that and is like, bum, bum.
Yeah, like, this is Owen. This is my story with Owen, you know?
Right, right. Does anything... Oh, I wrote, when the fourth one dies, Christina and Owen have a staring moment. They, like, looked at each other.
Oh, I don't remember
I think it's
that
the
part.
Boy that said that quote.
Oh, okay.
So, like, when he dies then, because kind of, like, life is short, I should have, whatever.
Right.
And then they, like, stare at each other.
And
so.
They, like, longingly want to be together. Yes. And then Christina ends it with trying to take down the ceiling fan.
Yeah.
Which also I was like, that is not how you take a ceiling.
No, that's going to fall on your fucking head.
She's like hammering it.
Yeah.
Like, that's not a great idea.
Owen also gives to like go into the George thing. We'll talk about the wedding when it all comes out. But Christina is very teary eyed and makes eye contact with Owen.
Yeah.
So there's definitely like something there. Owen gives George a pep talk and he says, you don't have to be the hero. You just need to go where you're needed.
Right. So he's talking about Trump because... I wrote in here, so like George is losing patients left and right,
right,
and Owen just keeps sending him to be with like different patients. And George comes in at one point and he says, like he asks Owen to pull him out. He's like, you need to pull me out. I can't do this. And Owen's like, too bad, keep doing it. But I wondered, like, shouldn't you pull a doctor out if they're specifically saying, like, I need out, like, I can't.
Yeah, yes.
I don't know. That's just, I'm not saying yes or no to that. But
I feel like yes, but also Owen probably recognizes that it's not George's fault. Like these people were going to be dying anyways.
Right.
And George is doing exactly what he can do. Yeah, I mean, Owen's a little hardcore.
Yeah.
Like, in making people like push to their limits.
Right.
But like, I love that quote because I feel like George never really, he doesn't ever recognize himself as the hero, but he is that like friend in person that will go where you're needed. Like he's always been that. And so that's why, I don't know. I just like, I was like, oh fuck, here it goes.
Well, and that is a really great quote. And it's, I think, doesn't Owen say something about how like trauma is about like a team?
Yeah.
Like it's teamwork. And right. like he was like, by you helping those other patients, I could save this patient today.
Exactly. And so I think like, I feel like that's a good little teaching moment and also probably true. And
I don't know. Like, you don't always get to be in the spotlight and be the like the neurosurgeon who's like saving Izzy or whatever. But
sometimes you're handling all the other shit so some people can be doing the thing. And that's just as powerful as
and important.
Right. It's just
life lessons, man.
It just makes me so sad that like I'm telling you, George, like I'm all on board with George. Like I could see him being an army doctor. I wish he could have just done that.
I wish he could have gone and done it. I know.
And I don't want to talk about the Izzy George moment yet until we get to that.
Yeah, sure. But I also wrote like O'Malley was running traumas.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, he was running that year. Like Callie was, but he also like
yeah.
I felt like for maybe the first time in a while, I felt like George was a really good doctor.
100%.
Like, he staying super calm. Himself. Yes.
Yeah. And he was like, yeah, telling Lexi to do this. And like, he knew what to do when he'd walk upon a patient, which is like the first time in a while we've seen him do that.
Yeah.
Was it last, what season was he, did he fail the intern? Third season three?
I think season
and then
three.
Four, halfway through, he gets to take it again. So he's, okay. Yeah.
So, okay. So I feel like
we got to just get into the.
Well, first of all, it starts out that Izzy sees Denny.
Yeah. Denny is back.
Right. And
which
so,
is not good.
And you couldn't remember when Denny comes back. Yeah. Remember,
I knew, yeah. And here it is.
Yeah.
And here's that line too, which we'll get to in the next episode. But that one line that we always said, like, I want to be with my husband. Like,
yes.
I didn't know when that happened. And now it all makes sense. But yeah, fuck, Denny's back.
Yeah. And he is this time.
Black.
Yeah. He's the fucking angel of death, man. He is like before, you know, he was in that white t-shirt. Wasn't he in a white t-shirt or something?
Yeah. He's like that. Yeah.
Like cool.
No, he's
cool and casual.
Scary
no.
Now. Don't want to see him.
In the fucking shadows. Yeah.
Also, I said a huge character growth for Izzy that immediately she tells Derek about it.
Yes.
Like she pages him.
Well, because she, you can tell that she wants to live now.
Yeah, that's the difference. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really, I thought that moment when like Derek comes in and he's like, blah, 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 I can't talk about, I'm dealing with medical. And she's like, no, Denny's back.
Yeah.
Also, Denny knows it's a tumor, which I thought was interesting. Like, because when Izzy, like, talks to him, she's like, it's a tumor. And he's like, mm-hmm. Like, Denny, I was like, Denny knows medical. The angel of death knows what he is.
Yeah. Well, it's because it's her subconscious.
Know,
but
How fucking cool was it that they mapped the brain for hallucinations?
Yeah. Didn't know you could do that.
I thought that was really cool medical. Like, if we have to have a segment of, like, something cool medical, I was like, that was sweet.
Well, and I got super emotional in that scene where she's like, what, you know, like, what, I love how she's like, what if I can't make him appear? And Derek's like, well, you know, I'll stay here all night. And she's like, no, no, you have to get married. Like, I'll make him appear. Just give me a second. And then when she starts, like, calling out to him, like, you were there when I didn't want you to, like.
There's also very emotional music
happening.
Right,
and it's, like, building and building. And she says Denny, like, three times. And then she screams his name and he's like, I'm like here for you or whatever.
Yeah, that's what. Yeah, that's. I think.
I just got chills.
I know. Same. Yeah, he says. Oh, where is it? Yeah, I'm here for you, Izzy.
Like.
Oh, and the best is. Okay, I wrote a note on this. I was having deep intellectual thoughts, but like Izzy's face in that moment, she's so happy to see him, and then like realizes.
Yeah.
And her face totally changes. Like she goes from happy to like fuck.
Yeah, and there's like it's like such relief. It's almost like. Okay, I hallucinated, I did the thing, but also like, fuck, goddammit, here's the phrase, here's the thing, I'm dying.
Yeah.
And I think we should circle back when Bailey, when she's hooking her up, and Bailey is like, is it always Denny that you hallucinate? Mm-hmm. And Izzy's and Bailey's like, oh, okay, well, that makes sense. You love him. And Izzy's like, no, I mean, I loved him, but I hallucinate Denny, I think, because I associate him with death.
Right.
And, like, the person I love is Karev.
Yeah, and then she's like, Alex Karev?
Yeah. And that, like, who I want to, like, like grow with and start my life with and all of these things. Like life is Alex and death is Denny. And it was very powerful.
Yeah. And at that moment, so she asked that question and then the music starts. And in that music is when Alex asks her, the patient Becca, to give him her valedictorian speech.
Yes, that's what's happening.
Yeah, so she's giving her, today is the day my life begins, that speech. The music is happening. The fourth, her boyfriend, or that one guy, dies. Christina and Owen have a staring moment.
Yeah.
And she's calling for Denny.
Classic Grace.
So good.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, and I remember, too, as soon as that girl started giving her valedictorian speech, I was like, these words, we hear them again. Like, yes. I remembered, like, something clicked in my brain. Mm-hmm. Which, again, fucking good writing.
Yes.
Should we, really quick, before we keep going...
down the wedding?
Well, let's talk really quick in that scene with Derek, Bailey, and Izzy. It's really sad when Bailey asks, so how are you going to get the tumor? Mm-hmm. And Derek's, like, is just, like...
We're not.
Yeah. But I wanted to really quick, before we get in, finish with the thing with Izzy, is... Meredith solo surgery really fast.
So that was
present.
Yeah, and I love how Meredith's like, "What, we're supposed to give each other presents?
This
like
is this, so stupid.
This is really dumb.
I'll just give it back."
What was your present to Jake?
A watch. Very basic.
What was his to yours?
Actually,
his to yours.
I had all those sterling silver bracelets from my bridesmaids and my mom and whatever, and he got me one that had. It says something. Oh, God. What does it say? It says something that we say to each other. But now my brain is blanking under pressure. I can't remember what it says.
Oh, but he got. So you wore it on your.
Yeah, it was really actually I cried.
Oh,
I wasn't expecting him to be that thoughtful.
Oh,
like it was very like I was like, damn. Yeah.
Nice work. Because
I see so many girls open jewelry that they hate on their wedding day and have to be like, oh, I love it. It's like some ugly ass pair of.
Why do we give our partner a gift?
I don't know. Especially, like, sometimes I think guys give it thinking they're going to wear it. And I'm like, girl, they've had that picked out for months. Like, they're not going to wear that. Watches are a common gift because a lot of times, like, guys don't have a nice watch. And a lot of people like to wear them on wedding days. So I see that gift a lot for
watches.
Yeah. Yeah, and jewelry. I mean, sometimes I've seen digital cameras because like, they're going on a honeymoon. And
what about
like,
cufflinks?
Ooh, that's cool too. But again, usually these people have these things picked out. Right. I think that cards are great. Like a little note is just as much. But actually, yeah, what did it say? Now I'm like panicking.
I will tell you not live what I've always thought I would do.
Perfect.
But I can't say it live.
No, don't say it live.
Yeah.
Okay. So Chief goes with her.
And scrubs in and is like hanging out behind her like,
Likes how she asked for the scalpel.
Good, yeah.
Good.
I said, Chief, shut the fuck up.
I said, Chief, onlooking is me.
Great, very nice.
This is actually perfect for what we talked about in the intro. I said, Chief, onlooking is me when Jake's cooking dinner. Like,
great job, very nice.
Like, you can do it on your own. Oh, you sure you're gonna? When he's just like, I guess you could do it that way. That's me. Like, so yeah, I am Chief.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
That's a perfect roundabout.
Yeah, that
I
is
wrote
a,
that note.
Yeah, that's a really good example.
Also,
I love that Meredith is just fucking crushing it in surgery. Even when like Mark comes in and is like talking to her, and Chief's like chirping in her ear, she like doesn't miss a beat.
No,
she's just like also too that she doesn't take a moment to like breathe in, breathe out. She's just like bogey scalpel, like done this a million times.
Yep,
love it.
I really appreciate that. Like, so Chief's being all annoying. I feel like Chief, like, I've said this before, he has hot and cold. Like,
yeah, you said this last episode.
Yeah, he's either very angry or he's, like, fatherly or whatever. But I feel like when he's, like, truly in his, like, which next week when he talks to Bailey and has that moment and he's, like, with her or whatever. Like, when Chief is, like, being this, like, fatherly and just, like, friend, it's prime Chief for me. Like, fucking love him. And I love that he... I said, Chief recognizes Alice would have been proud of Meredith for surgery, not the marriage.
Yes.
And I liked, because initially Meredith's like, no, she wouldn't have been proud. And he's like, no, I'm talking about what you just did. And I feel like that has to be good for Meredith because, like, he is filling a little bit of a gap and being realistic about it. And, like, being proud of her for both things, but also acknowledging what her mom would have been proud of.
Right.
I just thought that was, like, the greatest wedding gift for Mare, is to know that on her wedding day, her mom would have been proud of her, even if not for the right thing.
Yeah, for doing a solo surgery.
Yeah, and so I liked that moment a lot.
I think that's great. I love
the wedding.
Yeah, before the wedding, I just want to talk a little bit about Christina talking to Meredith about the wedding. A big day. That is my, like, I have that ingrained in my brain, that, like, her getting up on the couch, big day. It's, like, one of my favorite Christina moments. And Meredith is like, please don't do this. And she's like,
what are you doing?
And she's like, oh, thank God. And then she's like, do you want me to shave off your eyebrows to numb you into submission?
Yeah, I have that written too. So good.
Yeah.
So fun. Again, in this moment when this happened, I was like, oh, yeah, Christina had a wedding.
Yeah.
Like, almost, but like, yeah,
big day.
It's for sure a top five moment of Christina.
Yeah, and you know, she's just talking about like how fucking tired she is and she has to get Meredith down the aisle and then just like turns on this complete fake, like that her and Meredith don't do that. And Meredith is like, stop.
Wedding day, if I'm around, I'm gonna say that to you, big day.
I will probably start crying because I'll be like, you get me so well. So anyway, it's a big day. It's a wedding day.
Also, okay, a few things that I hadn't remembered since I haven't watched this in a while. The wedding is Bailey's idea because Derek is like, I can't save her tumor. You know, she's like, but there's something you can do. And then it like cuts to like all of these things happening.
So it is Bailey's. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is, I just love that. Of course.
Yeah. Cause I thought it was Derek's idea.
She takes care of her own. Like she's mama bear to all these people. And yeah, so she tells Derek, obviously tells Meredith, and even fucking better, I made a big note and circled it. Meredith is the one who tells Alex about the idea.
Yes.
Like, I feel like I'm just noticing more and more the times that they are friends.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we'll talk, but like, she's his best man. Like they truly are friends. And it makes me, even makes it more realistic.
Because this is the episode where he's crying on a bench, right?
Yeah. He says, I think she's going to die on me.
Yeah.
And starts crying. And yeah. And then...
And I love that Meredith is there for him in that moment.
Right. And I just love how the like segue into the wedding is like Alex coming in like with his suit.
Yeah. And doesn't even really pop a question or anything. No.
It's just happening. I just didn't remember it happening that fast.
Oh, yeah. It's like, and there's, well, so then Ingrid Michaelson's song starts playing, which
Turn to Stone
was the first song that played on our playlist when I turned it on at work. And I was like, this morning, and I was like, oh, God. And I started feeling things.
Yeah. I thought it was really like sad, but beautiful when they're, so Izzy's getting ready, but they're removing medical things.
And
like it's all happening, like as they're doing whatever, like they're removing a plug and like just really sad.
Like putting a little thing in her hair and then they're taking her oxygen off. And
it's very beautiful and like precise.
And and it's her wedding. She planned it all. It's everything
she said that a million times too in this episode. Like, it's the perfect wedding.
Yeah, it's exactly what she wants. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Meredith makes the little joke about like who's going to be the maid of honor. And she's like, Christina.
She says it so fast.
Yeah, like you.
She says, you tried to save my life and that makes you honorable. Which,
well, before
that's when
that,
I start crying.
Yeah, well, before that, she was like, because Meredith, because you need to be
Alex's best man,
and he's freaking out right now. And so then Christina is like, oh, so I'm like second best or whatever. And she said, you try and save my life. And Christina's eyes get watery.
Yeah, yeah, she has no funny retort.
Yeah, like, she's just like, oh, okay. And then she starts.
Okay, this is the part.
Then she starts walking down the aisle.
This part fucking destroys me. So, because again, I haven't seen this in a while. So, it's very blurry to me. So yeah, she's walking down and I was writing, George watching her walk down the aisle makes me sad because, I mean, I know they weren't right together, but I still think he loves her more than like he probably loves anyone else.
Yeah.
And so I'm saying that and then I go, fuck, he walks her.
Like, Did you not remember that?
And so when she stumbles and then like
he says, take
my
hand.
He's there in like a half a second. Like he's just there. And that's when I was like, oh no.
Yeah. And then he gives her away.
Yeah.
And like
he looks at Alex and they nod their heads. Fuck. It's just so.
Dude, I know. I sent Abby a photo of me. I had tears rolling down my face. I was like, fuck, I'm on the wedding episode right now.
Also, and maybe this is like not on purpose, but you know how they're like, the priest guy's talking and he's like, we all give our blessing and it pans to George on that moment.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like George gives his blessing. Like, I don't know.
Like, this is okay.
Yeah. And like, I'm telling, okay, listeners, I I ship Izzy and George hard. Like that, I loved them together. I felt GGBs when they had that closet moment and they didn't make out but wanted to.
That was a great moment.
Yeah, so good. Like I, even though it was like wrong how it happened, I always thought they would have been good together. Like I just wanted it so bad.
Yeah.
I think it's because when I first watched the show, I identified with Izzy and I liked George. Like, so it was like perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But this just fucking kills me when he walks her down the aisle. It's so perfect.
It is. I wrote, I'm feeling so much, I'm crying, George. Like, my notes aren't really, like, they're, like, one-liners. But I also wrote that Bailey looks so pleased, yeah. Like, when they, like, kiss. And she's just like, oh, this is so good.
Well, yeah, so much is happening. So, Karev, while Karev is saying incredible vows, which he took from the speech, but, like, altered.
Yeah.
Mark puts his arm around Lexi.
Mm-hmm.
Christina stares at Owen and is teary-eyed. Mare and Dare look at each other and smile this fucking, like...
They're like, it's okay, we're not getting married today. Yep. Like, look at what we did.
But then I got sad and I wrote, George has no one.
No, like, you notice he has no one.
They pan to him again and he's sitting by himself.
Yes.
And again, they at this point, they know he's fucking leaving the show. Like, yeah. It's just really hard for me to watch.
Was Chief there? I can't remember Chief's response.
He's just like,
yeah.
He's by Bailey.
They're getting married. They're doing it.
Yeah. And then she gets home and she's so
to the
sick.
Hospital. Yeah. And she and her like hair comes out with her little pin.
Yeah.
And Alex just has the best response. Like, we'll shave it off. Like,
yeah.
Fucking cares. It's all gonna be okay. And I just wrote, Krev is so good. Like, he's like, my wife is hot. Like, and then this is where she tells Denny, go away now.
Well, yeah. So I don't know. I need to read the monologue again. It says, Izzy talking to Denny via the monologue?
Well, yeah. So she's saying, like, this day was perfect, all this stuff.
Yeah, she's, like, talking to him.
Yeah, because Alex is out of the room. And then
oh, you're right.
And then Alex comes back in, and she's like, go away now. I want to be alone with my husband.
Yeah, so it's interesting to read that monologue. It's like she's telling him, like, yeah, you never know, blah, blah, blah. It was, and then she says, it was a beautiful day.
Yes.
And then he comes in. So I think it's really brilliant. I also think that's the last time that she talks to Denny. Because.
No,
he comes back again?
Next episode.
Oh, damn it. Oh, yeah, you're right. I forget.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I loved that, like, because that the monologue is them talking to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And Christina rips out the fan. Karev kisses her head, her bald head.
Yeah. Didn't look too bad.
No.
Because sometimes, like...
Mine would be terrifying.
Well, no, but sometimes, like, with makeup...
Right.
With, like...
No, it looked like a real bald head.
Yeah. It's pretty...
What if Shonda was like, you will shave your head. You will do
you
it.
You do not have an option.
We are not providing a wig cap.
Yeah.
Fuck.
A wig cap.
Yeah.
Is that what they're called?
Yeah.
Okay. Felt a lot of things in this episode.
I mean, like, this could have been the finale. Right, exactly.
Which I also love that they had such an epic episode that wasn't the finale.
It's very Game of Thrones, where the penultimate episode is, like, the big one. And then, yeah. It's fucking great. I had GGBs. We should talk about MVP.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about MVP.
I know.
We also have to read notes and trivia.
Oh, yeah. Can you open it on your phone? Because I'm afraid if I get out of this, it will mess up.
Yeah, start maybe talking about what your
MVP. Yeah, so my thoughts for MVP, I have a couple. I mean, like, I feel like the obvious choice you could say, like, is Izzy. Like, she planned this wedding. It was her wedding. She's, like, ill. She made it through her wedding, blah, blah, blah.
She made it through.
Part of me thinks Mare Dare for, like, Derek A for, like, being her doctor and, like, for, I don't know, not giving up their wedding, but, like, being totally fine with plans being switched. But also, like, that's how they go. Like, they didn't even want this wedding.
Right.
And then I also,
like, because, like, in the beginning, we kind of forgot to talk about, they're like, this is a big church. They're, like, standing it in, like, we're getting married in a church.
And okay. I also thought Karev, because, again, he rises to the occasion. Like, he was not planning on getting married that day, whether or not it was the responsible choice.
But George grabbed her and walked her down the aisle.
Right. Part of me then thinks George, because he handled... Maybe George, because he handles the ER, and honestly, I think George walking her down the aisle might be one of my top moments of Grey's. It's so perfect. I can't even. But anyways, I don't know. I don't know who did not. Who did? Do you have any idea?
Or Bailey.
For it being her idea to begin with?
Yeah. Or,
the person who, I feel like MVP in like the podcast I listen to is like the person who furthered their cause. And so I'm trying to think like who really did it. I feel like Izzy.
I think it has to be Izzy.
I think so too. I think it has to be.
But, or is it Izzy? Because Izzy like just got like the benefits this episode.
Right, right.
You know? So I don't know that it is Izzy.
Part of me thinks Karev, because he was not planning.
I think Karev, because he was not planning on getting married.
And those vows?
And he didn't question it. He just did it. And the way he responds to her, like when she has to shave her head and like,
right.
Karev gets the Harper Avery.
Perfect.
Okay. Notes and trivia. This episode's title originated from the song What a Difference a Day Makes, originally sung by Dinah Washington?
Dina?
Dina? Is it D-I-N-A-H?
No.
Dina? Dinaha? Anyway, this episode scored 15.33 million viewers. This is the 100th episode of Grey's Anatomy.
Wow, happy 100!
Yeah.
We've done it, well, not quite, because we combined.
Yeah,
but either way, we've made it through 100 episodes.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
That's a big deal. I wish I knew that in the beginning. It was mentioned that there were 8 kids piled into a single SUV. However, only 6, David, Becca, Jordan, Michelle, Dana, and Pete, were seen or mentioned. It's unknown if this was a mistake or if the other 2 passengers were just not featured. According to Shonda, Denny wore black in this episode as he represents death.
Duh.
We picked that up. And this is the 100th appearance of Ellen Pompeo as Meredith Grey, Patrick Dempsey as Derek Shepherd, Sandra Oh as Christina Yang, Justin Chambers as Alex Karev, T.R. Knight as George O'Malley, and Katherine Heigl as Izzy Stevens.
Wow.
So that's cool.
And George only has 2 more.
Yes. We forgot to say that Callie and Arizona went to the wedding together.
Oh, yeah. They were very cute and kissy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was only noting the sad things.
Right. Because there were a lot of sad things, but it was also really
quite I feel lovely. Like my rating is going to be bold.
Okay, I'm here for it.
Like, this to me is a 10.
Well, it is the 100th episode.
I
would give it a 10. I feel completely confident in giving this a 10.
Like, the patient story was really good. I felt things for those certain patients. Like, it was fucking good.
I also feel completely confident in giving it a 10.
What? A double 10. Wow, I'm surprised you're giving it a 10.
Well, I think I've always really loved this episode. And especially this time, I cried really hard watching this episode. Yeah. And I never get bored with this episode. Yeah. I feel like it gives you everything that Grey's is supposed to give
100%.
You.
100%. The music, it's got Ingrid Michaelson
songs. That is it right there.
That's the key ingredient. If it's got Sarah Bareilles or Ingrid Michaelson.
Yeah. Or what's the one who's Anna?
Anna and Alec.
Yeah.
I also think...
Or the Fray.
We should sometime do an episode where we talk about all of the weddings.
I was going to say, like...
Is this the first one? Or Christina's?
Yeah. But there have been a lot, and we should do an episode of that because ranking we can talk about which ones are our favorites.
Yeah. This one is successful. It's beautiful. I fucking love it.
Yeah. Feel great about
George it. George is my favorite.
Yeah.
All right.
So any other things we have to say?
I feel great. If you have thoughts about this episode and you want to talk about it, the best place to do that is our Facebook group.
Yes.
It's the On Call Room Listener Squad. And if you join, be $2 a month. That's it. On Patreon, then you can gain access
to that. Less than a Starbucks coffee.
Yeah, like just a coffee, not even a fancy coffee.
Yeah, so you can do it.
Yeah.
And actually, tonight, we're not going to call Time of Death because we have...
Someone else.
Yeah, which is the first time we've had this, so I'm really excited.
So if you are also a patron, is it $5 or more? There's a phone number that you have access to. You can text us, you can call us, you can leave us voicemails, and you can call Time of Death, and we'll play it on the show.
Yeah, just like we are going to right now.
So thank you so much for listening. Bye.
Hi, this is Katie.
And this is Gina.
We love you guys, and Happy New Year to everyone. Time of Death. It is 1948.
Bye!